Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dolly Misfit Podcast. I feel like I want to change it from the Dolly Misfit Podcast to the Dolly Misfit Happy Space. Like, I basically just want to take the word podcast out. I have to figure this out. But I am here. If you hear a little TikTok type of noise in the background, that is the baby swing. But I figure now is a great time for me to get on and record because she is asleep. So it's a Monday. It's hot as hell outside, but my space inside is pretty cold because I had the air on all night. So I don't know why I felt compelled to share that, but whatever. All right, so I want to finally sit and talk about my labor. I had the baby in April, early April, and I was able to have a successful water birth. And with that being so, it was a natural birth. I had no epidural, no pain meds, basically. So I'm gonna start from the top. I had her on a Monday. My labor started on a Sunday, like a Sunday morning. So that Sunday morning, you know, contractions, you feel one contraction, two, three. It was kind of like the timing was like spaced out. You know, so I know, oh wait, let me not start there. Let me go back even further. It had to be either that Friday or that Saturday. I was sitting down at my altar. I was, you know, doing a little bit of spiritual convening, so to say. Just talking to my people on the other side. And when I finished, I sat on the exercise ball and I was rubbing my belly and I was talking to my baby and I was just saying, you know, like, I'm ready for you. I'm excited to meet you. Could you please start making your way? Little did I know, she heard. And she started what needed to be started. She and God heard me. And they both did their part. Let me say that. I said that to my baby while she was still in the womb for a few reasons. One was because my other pregnancies, they went close to 2 weeks overdue. And I didn't want that again. And then the other reason was, like, I genuinely knew, like, I'm ready to, like, you know, you're always, like, curious to see what they look like, what they feel like, what they sound like, what they smell like. But in that moment, it was just like, you know I'm going to be in a lot of pain. I know it's going to hurt. I know it's not going to be fun, but I'm ready to start what needs to be started. As I rubbed my belly and I looked at my belly, that's what I told my baby. Like, could you please start making your way? I'm ready to meet you. So that was, I can't remember if that was a Friday or a Saturday. I think it might have been a Friday, but I can't really recall. But by Sunday morning, you know, I started having contractions. They're spaced out and they're like so like random that, you know, It's hard to call whether that time is coming soon, or my body is like prepping days in advance. I remember I had gone out to put something in my car that Sunday morning, and I saw something was wrong with my tire. And I sent the picture to my best friend and she's like, you know, that could have turned into a blowout. You need to make sure you go get your tire changed ASAP. So in between contractions. Thank God it, you know, my body just about cooperated, and there's a tire place not far from where I reside. I drove from my house to the tire place, and just as I parked, I think I got out the car, I'm having a contraction, you know, tell the guy, look at the tire, like, I need a change, basically. So they don't take cards. It's like a cash only type of place. So I have to go find an ATM. Well, as I'm trying to cross the street, here comes a contraction. Make it across the street, get the money, another contraction, cross back over, another contraction. This is all Sunday, and this is Sunday around, let's say, between 10 a.m. and noon, something like that. You know, and there's a guy that sees me. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, this is labor. It's cool. It's cool. So, you know, now all of the men that are there are looking at me with such sorrow. like they just look terrible. They look worse than I feel like I look. But I was able to, you know, get the tire changed. I can't remember if I stopped at another store, but eventually I came home. And I just, you know, went through the day. Laboring. Early laboring. Whatever it's referred to. I went through the day with the contractions. During the daytime, they, like, again, they were very sporadic. Rather, I'm not going to say sporadic. They were inconsistent. Like, it was hard to, like, you know, mark a pattern with them. So I stayed in the house for the rest of the day, I believe. I made sure that I ate, because I know from previous experience, if you go to the hospital, they won't let you eat. But I also know that contractions hurt so bad and they exhaust your body that you'll be tired. Being tired and hungry is most definitely not a good thing during labor. So I made sure I ate, and I made sure that I got rest in between these contractions, because once again, like I said, the shit makes you tired as hell. Like, when I say like tired as in exhausted, like really exhausted. So, you know, I ate throughout the day. I got on the exercise ball. I did a multitude of things. But I stayed in the house, and mostly, like, aside from the things that I did in the house, I took it easy. Come Sunday night, you know, now I'm not really getting much sleep at all, because the contractions are, like, a little more consistent. Not all the way consistent, but significantly more consistent. Whereas in the daytime, I might have been able to sleep for an hour and a half. In the nighttime, maybe the contractions are coming every 30, 38 minutes, something like that. Didn't leave much room for much sleep. So come the wee hours of Monday morning, they're really doing a number. They busting my ass, basically. And now I'm like, all right, I need to go to the birthing center so they can check me. So it's like 6 in the morning. I believe I had spoken to the doctor once. The second time I spoke to her, she's like, you know, make your way. I'm gonna call the midwife and she'll reach out to you. So the midwife texts me, letting her know I'm on my way. So she meets me there and she checks me. Now, before all of these contractions even started, I was only like 1 centimeter. Then I want to say I was just 2-ish when I got there. I had a, what is this shit called? Basically, I can't think of the exact term, but it's basically a chiropractor for pregnant people, where, like, my baby was sitting on my pelvis and we needed her to be in the pelvic opening. And I had read, even though I read it late as shit, I've learned for if there's a future baby to come, go to a chiropractor that does a certain type of adjustment that realigns the baby with where she needs to be. So I had made that appointment on Friday for Monday. So as I'm at the birthing center, I'm explaining this to the midwife, and she's like, all right, you know, you haven't dilated that much further. What I want you to do is go home, rest, go to your chiropractor appointment, and then come back after. All right, so that's exactly what I did. I catch an Uber back home. You know, I'm wading through these contractions. My bestie comes. She takes me to my chiropractor appointment, of which those contractions was bussing. It seems like the contractions were worse in a car. I don't know what the fuck that's about, but it seems like they were so intense in a car. Even like the Uber ride, like so fucking intense. So I get to the chiropractor. She has me go in one room and she presses down my spine. Then she has me go in another room and I have to lay on like this. It's not a bed, it's not a table, but it's like this machine type thing. And she basically like strapped something around my ankles and some other part of me, I can't remember. But it basically, it was like different sections of this table I was laying on, or this machine that I was laying on. And it basically kind of like pulled the top half of me one way while it pulled the bottom half of me another way, but it was in like a perfect motion. Like it wasn't like I was being pulled or stretched like a rubber band, but I, in a sense, I was being pulled and stretched a little bit. But how she explained it to me is like, you know, it readjusts the position of the baby and it gets them off of some type of nerve or something so that they can be where they need to be and the body could do what it needs to do. She's like, I've been doing this for over 20 something years. I'm telling you, it works. All right. So after that, you know, my best friend takes me to go to McDonald's. Then I realized I left my AirPod somewhere. It's at the chiropractor. So we turn around, she goes, she gets the AirPod. And I'm like, I think I need to go to the hospital because these contractions is busting my ass. So at first I'm like, I want to go straight to the hospital. But that's what my brain is telling me. Always listen to your intuition and your gut. Because somewhere in me was like, yeah, but you know, like, maybe it's too soon. And I believe even my best friend was like, you know, it might be a little too soon. Like, we can go, but basically, like, we all know, you get to a hospital too soon and you're, you know, you're not dilated enough, they're not going to take you. They're going to send you back home. So I called the doctor's office, like, look, I want an epidural. I think I'm going to go to the hospital. They put me on hold, and then the ladies at the front desk is like, no, they said come in. Let them check you. Because if you go to the hospital and it's too soon, they're going to send you back home anyway. All right, cool. So we make our way. My best friend is looking at me like, are you sure? You sure you don't want to go straight to the hospital? Like, she wants to make sure that I'm doing what I wanted to do and that I'm not being pressured into doing anything else. Which I love her for that and so many other things. So we make our way to the birthing center, get inside. And now I am, I want to say, she said like 4 centimeters, but it was kind of hard for her to feel because she's like, my vaginal canal was swollen. She said it wasn't like that when you came this morning. That adjustment did something to you. So now I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? Like, how does my vaginal canal swell up? I didn't even know that was a fucking thing. And it kind of made it really challenging for her to feel my cervix. But she's like, you're about 4, but you know, you're swollen and da 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 da. And I'm like, I'm tired. I just want to take a nap. If I could take a nap, then I could get through this peacefully. So they're like, all right, we're going to give you some Benadryl to help with the swelling. And it should also help you get maybe a little bit of rest. And they were going to start me on an IV bag. Well, God's plan never fails, because God was like, I'm going to give you just enough Benadryl to take the swelling down, but not enough to let you sleep. They got the IV in, and half the Benadryl got in. Now, quick backstory, I had to get iron IV infusions 2 weeks prior to my due date. because this place consistently put the IVs in the same arm, it fucked up the vein. So when they're trying to give me this Benadryl, it cooperated just long enough for half the Benadryl dosage they gave me to go in, and the rest couldn't go in. Then they're trying to switch to the other arm. As I'm explaining this, I'm pulling up my sleeve and looking at my arms. Like, y'all can see it. Nuts. As they go to the other arm, they can't get a good vein. Like, never in my life have I had issues with veins. I've also never had to really get IVs and shit. But I never had these issues before. They can't find a good vein. I probably got poked 3 or 4 times in the left arm until they was like, okay, we'll try later. I know the way that I look at things, I was like, God, you wanted me to get just enough Benadryl, but I guess you didn't see fit for me to get the full dose and you didn't see it necessary for me to get that IV. Okay, I'm gonna take that. I literally said that in my head. So I try to lay down. They also gave me nitrous at my request though. I understood what somebody told me where they said, like, the nitrous takes the edge off just a little bit, but it doesn't, like, it helps, but it helps for a moment until that shit, them contractions come back knocking with full force. I'm trying to lay down, but I cannot lay through these contractions. I need to be, like, in certain positions or moving in order to, like, really get through this shit. So, also, I got back to the birthing center at 11 something. I had the baby at 6:10 p.m. So all of this is happening between 11 and 6 p.m. All right, so I can't lay down through the Benadryl. I'm like, I need to get up. Like, this shit ain't gonna cut it. So they're like, all right, we'll turn on the shower for you. No, I got on a ball. Before I got in the shower, I got on the ball at the foot of the bed. I'm on the ball, I'm bouncing, I'm moving, you know, I'm doing the motions that you need to do to help the baby descend and do what it needs to do. Next thing, I feel something wet and warm. I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck? Like, my brain, I guess it just went blank for a moment. Like, why the fuck is there something wet and warm coming out of me? Like, what the fuck is this? Now, on the ball, they had, like, one of those little blue pads that catches, like, pee and all that. So, I look and I see, like, dark colored fluid coming out of me. And the midwife is like, okay, your water broke. That's good. That's a good thing. So, I'm like, okay. All right. I lay back down. She's like, do you want me to check you? I say yes. Now, let me say this. When she asked me, I'm laying down so that she can check me. She's like, do you want me to check you? Like, she needed to verbally hear. She needed me to give her verbal permission to do so. Of which, I know that doctors have to do that. Rather, I know that that's what they're supposed to do. But I also know in the hospital, I don't ever recall them asking me, can they check me? They kind of just come in and tell you what they're about to do. This midwife just was amazeballs. She was very patient. She was very kind. She was gently firm, if that makes any sense. But she helped me out a lot. Let me also mention, at some point while I'm at the birthing center, I'm like, could you please call the doctor? Because I want to go to the hospital for an epidural. She calls the doctor. The doctor says, all right, tell her she can come. But if she gets the epidural and her labor doesn't progress, that's going to turn into a C-section. Light switch went off in my head. And I'm like, fuck that shit. That is, you know how some people say that's the last thing that they wanted? That is not what I wanted at all. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm staying. I'm not fucking around with these people. Anywho, all right, water breaks. I lay down so she can check me. She checks me and she's like, you know, you're 10 centimeters. And she tells me with the involuntary, I don't know, she said, you can push. Like when you feel your body involuntarily pushing for you, you can push with it. I'm like, okay. So I walk from the ball to the shower. They bring the ball in the shower. Now, I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. You got fluids leaking out of me because my water just broke. Then I'm in the shower. on this ball. It's slippery. It's slippery not just because it's a shower water running, but the fluids that's coming out of me is fucking slippery. Girl, boy, whomever is listening, I'm on a ball for a decent amount of time, but then eventually I slip. Thank God for my grip on a glass door. Because at that point, I'm like, all right, somebody come get this fucking ball. My best friend is looking like, get off the ball, because we don't need no fucking accidents. This is definitely not the time where you need those type of fucking boo-boos. So I'm squatting in the shower. One hand is pushing on the wall. The other hand is like holding on to the glass door, like the outside of the glass door. And I feel like how when you're constipated, you're not pushing, but your body is trying to push that shit out. That is literally how that felt. Like, I feel my body shivering as it's pushing. So I began to start pushing with it. Contractions busting my ass, and I'm just like, my best friend is timing it. She's like, yo, it's looking like it's time. Like, I hear her. This is what she's telling the midwife and stuff. My ringer is low on my phone. People are calling my phone. I'm not paying that fucking phone. No goddamn mind. You hear me? I am in so much pain. I don't give a fuck about that phone. My best friend is there. She's the HNIC. Go through her. She comes to me and she's like, you know, your phone is ringing. It's so-and-so. What do you want me to do? You can answer it. So a couple people call. She, you know, informs them accordingly. So at this point, I'm just like, my legs are getting tired from squatting in that shower for as long as I did. They already had the jacuzzi water going. So now they walk me from the shower to the jacuzzi. I get in there. Now, let me say this. That hot shower water beating on my back. Oh. I loved it. I loved it. It helped me out tremendously. I loved it. Now, when I got in that jacuzzi and they turned on those water jets and I was sitting right in front of the water jet, I loved it even more. It helped me out so much. And I remember hearing the midwife and one of the nurses saying, like, you're pretty thorough, because most people can't handle, you know, I guess like the feeling of the water jets beating on your back like that. I'm like, I don't understand how they don't like it. Like, that shit helped me out so much with like the pain that you have in your back sometimes when you're contracting. And, you know, I don't know how to explain it except that it helped. It did more than knock an edge off. So now I'm in a jacuzzi. You know, I am surrounded by the nurses, the midwife, and loved ones. My mom's there, my children are there, my best friend is there, and the father is there. And you know, I'm pushing. In my head, I don't know how to explain this. It's like, I don't know how far up or down the baby is. So in my head, it's like, when is this going to end? Like, when is she coming out, bro? Like, what the fuck? Like, that's literally how I'm feeling on the inside. The nurse, the midwife checks me at a certain point. She's like, she's almost there. And I can't believe it. Like, in between contractions, I am like, yo, you're really doing this. And you're doing this in a jacuzzi. And you're doing this with no epidural. What the fuck? I couldn't believe it. Then it gets to a point where now her head is down low. Now I'm about to learn what people mean when they say crowning is the worst part. And from my perspective, I don't know that I would say it's the worst part. It's pretty hard. But I think for me, those exhausting ass contractions for a long ass time is the worst part. The crowning definitely hurt, and it hurt in a sense like it stretched you out, and it's quite uncomfortable and painful. But I guess for the way my pain tolerance is set up, I don't know that it's the worst part, but it is definitely a pretty, you know, intense and painful. I did an Amazon scream at one point. I know that because it was like, oh my gosh, like, bruh, like, once again, it's kind of like when you're constipated and you got a big bulky poop, but it just can't come out just yet. So it goes up, comes down, goes up, comes down. I want to say my baby did that like twice. And after the first time, the doctor is like, all right, let her stretch you out and then go back. Let her stretch you out again and then go back. I listen because she know what she doing. When that head came out, ooh, woof, woof. But it came out. And then at that point, I'm screaming like, pull her out, pull her out, pull her out. Like, wait, just pull her out. She's like, I'm not going to pull her out. But I just need you to give me tiny pushes. Tiny pushes. And I'm just like, all right. I'm doing these tiny pushes as she has advised me to do. And, you know, the baby comes out. And she's like, take your baby, take your baby. But I'm so fucking exhausted. I'm not thinking to reach in the water. Like, you can hand her to me, please. Pretty please. And that's exactly what she did. She put her on me and fucking floodgates. Like, that skin on skin with your newborn infant is priceless. Like, my child before that was my first VBAC. That was in a hospital. You have on a hospital gown. The skin on skin is skin on skin, but not quite like this. Like, I am just about naked. I had on a tank top, but I think it was either lifted up or it was something. I don't know. I have on a tank top. It's lifted up. She has on no clothes, like, little skin on fucking skin. And she's just like laying there, like, looking at me and looking around, and like, she's laying on me comfortably, and I'm just holding her comfortably, and I'm just, oh, cried. I fucking cried. My mom is like emotional, my best friend is emotional, the dad is emotional. I can tell, like, the nurses and the midwife, they're emotional. They're working. They're doing their job. But it was definitely, like, a moment. You know, I noticed the midwife, she kept, like, feeling the umbilical cord. I guess, like, the pulse or the blood flow or whatever. I did the delayed cord cutting. I think they didn't cut the cord until everything had flowed through from the placenta, I think, something like that. It was, and I didn't push my placenta out for close to an hour, something like that. It took a while before it came out, basically. But that felt weird, pushing that out. It was fucking gross. But that was my natural labor and delivery story. After a while, because my upper body started to get cold, you know, they got me out of the jacuzzi. They kind of, like, one person held each arm, helped pull me up, helped me step out. And then, like, I couldn't hold the baby but so high because she had a short umbilical cord. And they walked me over to the bed, where now my legs are cocked wide open and they're checking my bottom and, you know, all that shit. I'm still holding the baby, but now I'm really cold. But, you know, we just came out of hot ass, warm ass water, and it's just kind of like getting out of the shower and the air is cold because you don't have that same hot temperature water on you. It was like that. So, you know, they cover us up with blankets and towels and all that good stuff. You know, they're guiding me through pushing out the placenta. I push that out. She's telling me I have barely a 2-inch tear. And she's like, you know, I need to stitch you up. And I'm like, because all I can think about is I don't have an epidural. You're not about to stick a needle and thread through my twat while I can feel that shit. Like, no. I'll heal naturally. She's like, Are you sure? And she got very firm. This time it wasn't a gentle firmness. It was firm, firm. She said, listen to me. This is a 2-inch tear. In order for it to heal properly, you have to go home. No chasing after the kids or anyone else. You have to go home. You have to sit down. And you have to have your feet up and your legs closed for at least 5 to 7 days. So I said, okay. She said, no, I'm serious. Because if you're not going to do it, we need to stitch you up now. Nope, I'm going to do it. You're not stitching me up. You're not sticking a needle and thread through my twat. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like, you're not, there's no way. And then she mentioned something about lidocaine. Lidocaine? In my brain, that shit ain't about to work. You talking about a needle? I'm not sitting through, like, I couldn't fathom it. I didn't want no parts of it. So, I healed naturally from that. You know, then it became time for Dad to cut the cord. He cut the cord. He was pretty hands-on as much as he was able to be. You know, and eventually I'm just like, I'm still tired. My body is still contracting. My stomach still hurts. So it's kind of like, I did the hard part, but I'm still in pain. Like, I want to be pain-free. I don't want to feel this pain because, you know, my pregnancy, I went through a lot. And then labor, you go through a lot. And in so many words, what I'm trying to say is I was ready to get to the point where I was not in any type of pain, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. I wanted no pain. So it's kind of just like, all right, I pushed the baby out, but my body's still in pain. I'm cold. I'm tired. And I'm just like, here, somebody can take the baby. Like, somebody else can hold her because I need a moment to just, like, be, you know? Can't remember if my mom or my best friend or the dad took her. Somebody took her. Or it could have just been a nurse because I know the nurse was doing certain things. But, you know, Dad got his skin on skin time, bonding with the baby. And, you know, my best friend had to step out for a minute. My mom and my oldest wanted to go grab a bite. My middle child is very attached to me, always wants to make sure that I'm okay. So he didn't want to leave. He stayed with me and the baby. Dad, you know, he was there. He had to step out after a moment and he came back, but you know, that's how it worked itself out. Now a lot of people were surprised to know that I came home the same day that I had the baby, but at least at this birthing center, I'm not sure about others, but at this one, they keep you for between 4 to 6 hours and then you're discharged because it's a birthing center, not a hospital. So they don't keep you overnight. So, went home that same night. And that was the start of this new journey with my baby. I had to take her back to the doctor. So I had her Monday. I had to take her back to the doctor's on Friday to do the hearing test, the blood test, I feel like one other test, and to do the birth certificate paperwork. But yeah, that is my story for the birth of my baby. I wish that I could share photos and video footage maybe one day. For right now, I just wanted to make sure that I got up here and you know, shared that story. I want to be completely honest. So I had her Monday. Maybe I gave her between, like, putting her on a breast and formula. I think I gave her, like, two, like, those pre-made bottles, two bottles of that formula. Two or three. after that second or third one and I saw her tongue was so white, I was like, ah, fuck this shit. I don't like it. So I was doing a lot of breast pumping. I was putting her on directly, but I was doing a lot of breast pumping. I was just trying to like find a healthy balance, you know, because breastfeeding is a journey within itself. Sensitive nipples, breasts always filling up, the milk letdowns are painful, you know, like it was a lot. So I was trying to do what worked for me because once again, I'm tired of being in pain. But after the second or the third time I gave her that bottle, it was exclusive breast milk up until about 2 weeks ago. So now I bounce between mostly breastfeeding, and she gets at least 2 formula bottles a day, but they're plant-based. They're the Enfamil Prosolvi. So it's plant-based formula because the dairy milk thing, like I just know what comes with that, and I am trying to do things different in a good way. Nothing against the moms that give their children those other formulas at all, because you do what you feel like you need to do and what you feel like is best for your child, and that's what I'm doing here and now with this one. But yeah, that's my birth story. I catch myself sometimes, you know, like looking through the pictures and the videos because she has grown. And I remember how she looked when she first came out, the first week I had her. Like, you know, babies really do grow fast. They don't stay small for long, and they damn sure don't stay small forever. But it's been quite a journey. I noticed that, you know, this is in my throat. I noticed that, I know that I was very emotional during my pregnancy, extremely emotional. I had a lot happening. I had a lot happening. I had a lot going on, a lot of different challenges and so many things. And I have, you know, taking time to like evaluate things that I said or did and things that happened, and I'm able to now look at them from a different perspective because I'm not mainly speaking from a place of emotion. But yeah, I just wanted to get on here and share that. I have to think about what the next video will be about. Well, not video. What am I talking about? The next recording will be about, next episode. I have to sit and think. I don't know if I want to touch on postpartum, or do I want to touch on like my breastfeeding journey thus far, or how I'm just feeling it. I have no idea. But yeah. That's what I have to share today. I hope you enjoyed this, and thank you for listening. What did I say I was going to change the name to? The Jolly Misfit Happy Space. I have to figure that out, because the Jolly Misfit Podcast, I don't know why that, I don't know. I'm going to get it together, but thank you for listening.